Help me welcome Jane Hall and Roy Davis to The Voice. How are you guys?
Good.
Thanks, Mike.
Good. All right, we're going to get to Roy in a second because there's a lot to say about Roy, who is the newest addition to our underwriting team. But, Jane, let's start with you. Can you tell us, can you just refresh the memory of the listening audience about the deliverables of underwriting advocacy here at Partners Financial?
Well, underwriting advocacy at Partners Financial certainly can help you with your cases, whether it be on the front end or the back end. And so I would say that regardless of your need, whether it's a simple as a quick quote, I got a guy, a type of case where you need a quick turnaround response, our team is there for you to provide you with, you know, what we're seeing out there and the best case scenario and what your likely outcome would be. And then lastly, I think, well, another case that we can help out with is negotiation. Perhaps you do have that offer back and it just isn't where you need it to be. You need some expertise, maybe some positioning it, pointing out the positives. Our team of underwriters together have more than 60 years of experience out in the field, and they're in a unique position because together, all heads together sometimes can give you ideas that you might not have thought about on an individual basis.
Well, great. Why don't you elaborate a little bit on the team and qualifications within the team, if you don't mind, and then I think that'll be a great segue into the latest addition of your team.
Sure. Well, right now we have three underwriters on our team. We have Lee Morris, who's been with Partners for 3 years, and mm-hmm. Lee has background working at a carrier, AXA, most recently, and certainly been underwriting for probably close to 20 years now. Then we have Kim Allen on the team, who has been underwriting Partners Financial for 2 years, but before that 2 years, certainly has great amount of experience working in agencies and for top producers in handling the cases, running into many underwriting situations in her 20 years of plus of experience. So she is just great at kind of giving you tips on how to position the case, what to look for. So she's an outstanding resource. And most recently, Roy Davis, experience coming on board, very well-rounded with 15 years of experience with a carrier nationwide, great carrier, as well as a reinsurance company most recently, has all his designations, his underwriting designation, CLU, and it comes master.
Oh, he's got all the alphabets behind his name. I know.
And then myself. I certainly help out with the team, and I think my experience in as a nurse prior to becoming an underwriter has been very instrumental in helping out cases and again, all the industry designations as well as industry involvement, as does Roy.
Well, great. Let's turn our attention to Roy for a second. Roy, welcome to The Voice. How are you today?
Thank you, Mike. I'm doing well.
Let's kind of cut to it a little bit. What do you think today's underwriting environment is for producers and firms who are working with affluent to super affluent people? To further clarify, what I'm really trying to get at is, you know, underwriting is not as simple as following guidelines, especially when you have impaired cases. What types of things do you have to do to help a producer close a case, a complicated case, you know, that involves, you know, capacity, that involves reinsurance, that involves financial underwriting? You know, how do you manage all that?
Well, the first thing, Mike, is to understand the producer's need, what the producer is trying to accomplish when he comes to me, and then to pinpoint those carriers who have the capacity and the availability to be able to accommodate his needs. This business that we're in right now is strictly people-driven, and it's about relationships. And it just presents itself real nice for me to be able to come in here and to just pick up where I left off at Nationwide, also at Transamerica Reinsurance.
Right. So let me ask you this. You've been on board a little while now. We've kept your secret, but now the cat's out of the bag. You're working with firms. How's it been going? Give us an example of a case or two that you worked on and tell us what you had to do to help the firm.
As a matter of fact, we just finished working on a case. It's not finished yet, but we just got through the beginning stage of positioning the case for John Anderson. And this is a very large case that he has with two principals that they're trying to shift from one business into another business. They did not sell the first business. They're just moving into a different business. And the people who are backing them financially are looking for key man insurance. We had to do some background work and the previous company, the current company. We have to look into what the current producer is trying to accomplish. And we also had to present the principals in terms of their experience level to show the underwriter that these guys are not starting out in a new business, but we had to capture their personal experience, their human capital, their goodwill, so to speak, and to put it into one big ball so that the direct carrier could look at it and realize that this might be a startup company, but it really is not a startup company. These guys have background information, they have background experience, and they have the capability to produce at this level. So Jane and I worked in some research work and put a proposal together for the producer so that he could present it to the carriers. And I believe that's going to help him to position the case.
Great. So that was a bit of a, you know, staging and positioning of the actual firm and the need to sell the insurance. So it was almost like image building.
Right.
So that the carrier had a good sense that, you know, this isn't a pie in the sky strategy. This is a strategy that's a valid strategy. There's insurable interest, you know, all those things. So you guys help out on the front end with just positioning, which is a bit of a myth. I think our firms are very comfortable saying, I submitted a case and I got a table 4 and I want standard. But this is a situation where before they ever got to the point of submitting a case, they needed your help presenting the argument so that it smoothed the way at the carrier so that they can accept the case underwrite the case on its merits, and then hopefully we get a nice piece of business.
Exactly.
Plus, you know, Roy, how much does reinsurance influence what a carrier can do with a particular piece of risk? You know, oftentimes what's not transparent to firms is when you go in and you need $10 million, and while they say I have in-house capacity to do $10 million on a single life, oftentimes it still involves reinsurance of the product. Can you talk about the differences?
Yeah, reinsurance has a big influence, and the reason why reinsurance has such an influence is the treaty. Most companies, every direct company has a treaty that they have to underwrite by, and the treaty drives pricing. So what happens is if the direct writer decide that, look, this is a table 4 case, the producer is saying, I need a table 2, now the direct writer has two options. The direct writer could pick up the phone and call the reinsurance company and try to get them to buy into a table 2. And if the reinsurance does it, it's good, and you could move forward with the case. However, if the reinsurance decide that this is a table 4 case, and if you're going to place a table 4 case, you could either pay us a table 4 premium and then sell the case at table 2 on your hand, so you're getting a table 2 premium, but you're paying us a table 4 premium. Mm-hmm. Or you could end up just keeping the risk on your own, but not cede it to us.
So let me turn my attention back to you, Jane. And Jane, can you talk at a very high level about any pressure points that our industry is feeling in underwriting? Things such as these reinsurance treaties, have those changed? The credit markets, does that have an effect on pricing, then in turn has an effect on underwriting practices? Is there, you know, is healthcare playing a role, and whether positive or negative, on underwriting in the insurance business? You see where I'm going?
From my discussions with most recently with the folks in the reinsurance industry, talked about that first. I feel that, and I've kind of felt for the past year, that just as carriers are looking for more business, so are our reinsurance partners. And they face competition as well as our carriers do from one to the other. And I think each one of the reinsurers, because of that, are trying to find their niche. You know, where are they going to stand out from their competitors? But most importantly, I think that they want to be partners with the direct carriers. And I'm seeing a bit more movement in a positive relationships between the carriers and the reinsurers, which I think is a very, very good sign. Mm-hmm. A number of years ago, there was a little bit of attention. I think what the reinsurers have seen is that the carriers, the audits they've been doing with the carriers have been, the results have been very favorable, and therefore I feel like the trust and the confidence is there for a more meaningful partnership.
Can you talk a little bit about those audits? I think that's a bit of a mystery to our producers. How frequently are audits done? What happens in an audit? I think this is just good information for, you know, we get into these very philosophical discussions with at advisory councils or with our producers about, you know, carriers maybe not wanting to cede certain types of business or maybe not wanting to exercise in-house retention options because of some audit or image that may be created with reinsurers. So could you elaborate on what an audit is?
Sure. Audits are typically done, for the most part, they might be done every year. Sometimes you might see them go a little bit longer than that. An audit can be generated just like it would be in any other environment. And maybe there's been an increase in mortality, poor mortality experience at a carrier. So the reinsurers will want to get in and do an audit and just do a check and see, put their, find out what's going on. Typically, you might, I think carriers or reinsurers most oftenly might review 100 to 200 cases at the carrier. They may have, say, if the mortality's been poor and over a face amount of 1 million older ages, they might target that group of cases to do the audit on. And in general, a favorable audit would be a what they call when cases are cited. That means that the reinsurer has questions about the cases. You don't want that cite ratio to be or percentage to be greater than 3% of the cases they review. And so the reinsurer will go back and they'll say, these are the cases I'm concerned about. The carrier then has an opportunity to say, well, this is really, you know, kind of rebuttal in a way. And they, again, try to kind of work it out. But if there was any, you know, particular situation why an underwriter might have made a decision, there might be some leeway. But and then the reinsurer then takes those results of the audit, and that's a huge factor that goes into their pricing with that particular carrier. So the better the audit, the better the pricing, the more reassurance that the reinsurer has that the carrier is doing exactly what they had outlined in the treaty that they would be doing.
Another question for you, and it relates to a very valuable resource that you have access, that the team has access to, is the MDs who are on retainer. Can you speak a little bit about what this retainer entails, who they are, what the retainer entails, and how do you use that resource for the benefit of firms?
We do retain the services of international medical risk consultants, and the primary principal in that particular firm is Dr. Martin Ingman. And when I came on board to NFP, I thought that having an MD resource would be a very advantageous to us. And that particular resource, we retain them for 15 hours per month. That resource is open across to any one of our lines, business lines. If an individual has a particular case, if a firm does, or a very high-profile case that they need a consult from an MD on, I would refer the case to the MD for their opinion on the case. I think what's unique about our MDs is they're very well known in the insurance industry by every one of our carriers. There's hands down, you know, they wrote one of the primary reinsurance manuals that has been used in the years past. So very well known. They do frequently they educate the MDs out at the carrier. So, mm-hmm. again, high-profile MDs that we have. And that resource, I mean, it's just all they have to do is, you know, contact Roy or myself or anyone on the team and just say, you know, this is a case that I would like for you to run by the MD, and we can certainly do that for their medical opinion on the case.
Okay, great. So in addition to everything from quick quotes to negotiation, all points in between, your opinion is you guys are actively involved with firms. The carriers are partnering up on a, you know, on a regular basis. The model is working, so to speak. Is there anything you got in store for 2011 that will further drive an advantage to our firms when it comes to underwriting and advocacy?
Certainly, you know, our involvement and our focus on education, I see as a very valuable added service that I don't see our competition doing at all, Mike. Everything from the training on demand to our work with the Academy of Life Underwriting study groups that Roy and I are leading certainly provide options for people to really build those resources at that local level, that underwriting knowledge. In 2011, we do have some exciting things. We're really trying to kind of circle back with the reinsurers, or we're trying to, we're going to engage with them as well to present at some underwriting sessions that we're going to be holding, some regional underwriting session we're going to be doing in Chicago this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's kind of exciting. Again, very unique. Nobody else in the industry is doing that.
We like unique.
Yeah, it is. And the other, you know, thing that we want to do, and I think is very important, is for Partners Financial to export some of that underwriting knowledge that we do have, and for that, because everybody's seeking underwriting knowledge out there.
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to know how we do business is important for those out in the carrier for their success as well.
Well, great. We value what you, Roy, Kim, and Lisa all do for the benefit of the firms. We can't thank you enough for being readily available to the firms and transferring that knowledge, being very forthright about education and building a platform that's built on education and awareness. So thank you very much for that. And I know you're going to be at the spring meeting. You've got an exciting resource room planned. I think you may even be entertaining a breakout. Is that true?
Yes, we will. We will be holding, certainly, once again, we'll have that resource room that will be open from 12 to 4 for cases that individuals would like reviewed right there. We're going to have many carriers involved and the top underwriters from those carriers in that resource room. So great opportunity there. We're going to be holding an underwriting breakout that will focus on our success stories and how we've moved the dial on particular cases.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, well, I'll say this to the membership. You won't want to miss either the resource room or the breakout session. Roy, thank you and welcome to the team.
Thanks.
And Jane, thank you very much for taking the time to be on the Partner's Voice. And I look forward to seeing you both in Dallas.
Look forward to seeing you, Mike.